97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Rob Body Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. I don't know about y'all, but I know I can handle cutting my hair, trimming, doing whatever I need to do. But I know a lot of people out there letting it grow out, man, letting it grow out. Dylan, let me see you, man. Let me see yours. It's growing a little bit, yeah. No, but no beard. I would do the beard, but here there's two things with the beard. One, there's so much upkeep. Like, if you're going to do a beard, I like to trim it, keep it nice and all. But the biggest reason I don't do it, it's not just the upkeep. It's, man, my daughters complain because daddy gives them 100 kisses a day on their cheek, and I don't want to be scratching it up with my beard. So that's the reason I can't keep it up. But 97.5 The Fanatic wants to see your quarantine coif or your crazy beards. So go to 975thefanatic.com, 975thefanatic.com right now, and submit a photo of your crazy hair or beard. We will feature your picture in our gallery each day. So that's just another thing. Before I get out of here, I got to hear from somebody who went to the shore. Where you went, what it was like, and how it is down there. I need to know. I know the weather was nice today. I know people are going to the Jersey Shore. Right? Today, weather was nice today. It's going to be nice tomorrow a little bit. Going to be... Honestly, this is what... So, last week when we were talking about coming back, and my wife's like, well, you know, I don't know. So, she looked at the 10-day forecast for South Jersey. She saw 57 degrees on Wednesday, and she's like, I'm out. You can go. I'm staying. That was it. That scared her off. That was it. Just one day. I'm like, but babe, look, it's 71. It's 78. It's 69. It's 75. It's just one day. You're not going anywhere anyway. She's like, no, I'm out. I'm out. I'm not. You go. I'm not. I'm like, all right, I'll go. Now I'll come back and get you after the 57 degrees. Whatever. You can miss that one. Open a pool, get it all going. It's nice. It's nice out. It's a beautiful day. If you've been down the shore, I want to hear it. Let me know where you went, what it's like. But we're also been talking about the NFL and this Rooney Rule expansion idea to incentivize the possibility of hiring a minority coach, minority executive. How you feel about that? Also, Bryce Harper's proposal for Major League Baseball. 135 game season. I love the 2-week World Series round robin tournament. And then, of course, we have Blake Snell's comments and Bryce reacting to him in a positive way, saying, yeah, somebody had to say it. He ain't lying. And what he was saying is Blake Snell doesn't want to play baseball for less than his full salary, even if they play half the season. Evan and Maniunk was at the shore. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Evan? Where were you, man?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Awesome.
I went down to Wildwood today, just for the day, a little day trip.
Okay.
It was pretty crazy over there. I'm not going to lie. No one was wearing masks or anything. Only a couple people. I was pretty shocked. I went down by myself, but people were gathering. Like it looked like Florida right before the whole situation.
No way. Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty bad.
Well, what are the governor's restrictions as far as Wildwood?
A lot of the
are you supposed to wear masks on the beach? Because, I can understand you're outside and, you know, what they said, if you're social distancing outside, right?
I don't think they want you to wear a mask on the beach, or I don't think you have to, but they also don't want people gathering, but of course people were gathering there today.
In big groups?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh yeah.
What about all the places on the boardwalk?
Like the the basketball shops where the games and all are closed, but the food's open for
food's open.
Some of the shops are open. And then I wanted to touch on the Bryce Harper point.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the New Life Kings. You know, it's not a softball league. You can't play every night. you can't play every night. But thanks,
my
Rob,
man.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. We must have played together on the New Life Kings. My man. Yes, sir. When did we play? When did I play in that league? That had to be like, wow, 2008, 2007. My buddy Timmy DeMoss, some good guys in that league. That was the first time I played in a church league softball. It was good stuff. The team had won. Timmy brought me on. The team had won 2 championships in a row. I joined the team, and they didn't win again. I was like the plague. That was it. Oh, those were some good times, some good memories. That's the one thing. The biggest thing I miss right now is the gym. And number 2 is actually playing ball. Not so much watching it, but playing it myself. I miss that. There ain't going to be no softball season this year. There's not going to be the prison softball league that I go to. Well, it's not a league. It's a mission team. Not going to have that. Not going to be able to go and play. Man, I love those trips. Love those trips. Not going to be able to do that. So, hey, you got to. It's one of those things. You got to get through it. We're going to get through it. We are. It's all good. We're going to get by. We're going to get through it. I keep saying this. I keep saying it over and over again. We're going to see a victory. We're going to win. We're going to see a victory. We will win this. We will. You got to maintain your positivity. It's all about the power of positivity. The power of positivity. Little personal note tomorrow. If you've don't follow me on social media, tomorrow I will be preaching for the first time a virtual sermon. I've been in churches. I've spoken in churches many times in person. Tomorrow it'll be a virtual sermon. So if you want to, I got a message called The New and Improved Normal. So you can tune in 10 a.m. Sunday, and it will be on YouTube. It's called The Comfy Cozy Church, which is Franklinville United Methodist Church and Newfield UMC. 10 a.m. It'll be on their Facebook Live pages. I'll share it out on my Facebook. Faith on the Field will share it out on our Facebook page, on YouTube. You can go back and watch it later, but you can check that out. So excited to do a virtual sermon for the first time. My buddy Vince in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Vince?
Hey, Rob. Good evening, and welcome back, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
How's the Acme, man? You've been down there again, 10th Street?
No, I haven't been there. That's a whole other story. That's everything's so screwed up there. But anyway, it's funny about the baseball thing, and I don't know. Like, I know there's been a lot of criticism from people saying, "Oh, baseball's got to do this because it's so slow and everything else." But I don't know. See, what bothers me. All right, this is obviously special circumstances for this year and stuff, but I don't want to see expanded playoffs for baseball especially. I mean, it's just one of those things where, I think as a society we've gone from like a short attention span to no attention span. I mean, that's just unfortunately the way it is now. I mean, like I said, I obviously don't relate to this, but I don't know how people, like say they could watch other people playing video games. I mean, to me, I can't wrap my head around that, or whatever.
100% with you on that. I don't like watching, and then what else they do? Like, I catch my kids watching a YouTube video, watching other kids play with toys, and I'm like, no, we're not having that. This is, you can't. How do you do that? Like, you're watching other kids play with toys, or even worse, Vince, it's adults using kids' voices playing with toys. I'm like, no, this is bad. But yeah, you're right.
By the way, I always enjoy those times. I don't know. I don't want to go into. I don't think this is controversial, but I enjoy people who like really stress the importance of like faith or whatever it is, I always like to I think sometimes people forget, especially during these trying times, the importance of like having faith and stuff. And
amen to that, man. You could always stress it on my show. You know that, Vince.
And see, with me, like for instance, like every night I'm up real late because I watch an Italian mass from Italy where my parents got married at. They do it from a church. Ironically enough, it's in Pompeii.
No way. Wow.
Yeah, my parents got married there, and I had the fortune of visiting there years ago, but it's always live at like 2:30 in the morning. It's 8:30 their time.
Wow.
But it's kind of creepy now. Like, there's hardly anybody in there, obviously, you know. And
yeah, how are they doing that? Is it just a priest? Or?
Yeah, just a priest and some, you know, like celebrants and stuff like that. But it's always, you know, I get my inspiration from that, you know, and, you know, kind of takes my mind off other things, you know, the usual stuff. So
that helps you gain a perspective.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And all of this is there's something bigger. There's something bigger than us at work. And I, you know, my message tomorrow, and I hope if you get a chance to watch it, it is about taking what we used to view as normal and looking at it and say that's in the past. There's a new and improved normal out there for us, and we got to carry over the good things that we're learning now into our future.
Yeah, the sad thing is, and again, I just think you could say this about any issue. I just think, I hope when things, you know, return to somewhat quasi-normal there, is that, you know, we could go back to a society where, you know, we believe in a common sense notion of right and wrong. You know, and we don't have to qualify everything we say. An example I always like to use is that, you know, when I say common sense, right and wrong, you know, it doesn't mean I want a theocracy. It doesn't mean I want a police state. And it doesn't mean I'm going to demonize people. You know, I'm just saying, as somebody who's, you know, a very imperfect human being, but, you know, if I do something wrong, I'll admit it. And if I tell somebody else, you know, you're doing something wrong, it doesn't mean you're going to burn in hell or anything like that. I'm just saying, it's just from...
Oh, you're so right about that, too. The idea of, like, you know, judging people and, you know... We all make mistakes. We all sin. Somebody's looks different, but hey, wrong is wrong, right?
Imagine, like, say, parents all of a sudden can't discipline their kids anymore, you know, things like that. So, anyway, just a thought, you know, so.
Always appreciate the conversation, Vince.
All right, Rob, take care, man.
Thank you, man. Love what you bring to the table. He's a good man, Vinny. Vince DiGregorio is a good man. Used to be down there at the ballpark for so many years. So many years. You know what Vince would do, too? Vince was... I mean, such a good dude, such a good guy. Like, he would bring fresh pretzels down at the ballpark, hand them out. There were occasions where he'd bring me and my partner covering the Phillies for all those years, Jack Shore, who just retired last year. He would bring us a Nick's roast beef. Oh, man. Now, if you talk about a food that I don't even know if they're still... What they're doing right now, I'm guessing they're open. I'm not sure. Man, that's the one food I've missed. Ooh, it's been a while. 610-632-0975. So I got my call about the Shore. Wildwood being lack of, and that's what I feel like it's going to be. People are just going to go, no, there's not. I've seen a lot of different places where social distancing has not been enforced. And that's, I just don't know how they're going to be able to enforce it everywhere. So be safe, be smart, go out, have your fun, but be safe and be smart. And here's the thing, be considerate of people. Be considerate of people, that's all. Just be considerate of people. And you know, it's weird. It's weird now because, like, I have found myself, and I don't know if anyone else has been in situations like this. I'm sure you have been, where I've had a second guess whether I'm going to do something, like help, in a certain circumstance. Because I don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable. Like, normally when I go to a grocery store, and I've been doing all the grocery shopping, and man, can my kids eat. The grocery bill, and they're 6 years old, and eating healthy is expensive. Literally, $2,400 one month. Grocery. And I'm just talking meat, chicken, fish, fruit, milk, eggs, some snacks for them. Nothing extravagant. For a month, I was like, wow. Now I actually get to pay attention because I know when the bill comes in, I'm like, oh, nothing else has been spent. But anyway, I digress. My point is, oftentimes if I'm at the grocery store and if I'm putting my things back, I get to the car and I'm putting my things back and I see some, like, I see an elderly lady or I see, hey, it doesn't even have to be a woman. It could be a senior citizen, or it could be anyone who looks like they may either be struggling or need some help. I always want to offer help. And now I second guess myself because you don't want to be, you don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. You don't want to walk up to them because you're supposed to be social distancing. You don't want to touch their stuff because now you're touching their stuff, although they had just packed everything in the store, so someone else did, but they had gloves on, and it's the whole thing makes me feel. The other day, I went into a grocery store maskless because in Florida you don't have to. I don't know if here you have to or not. Today I did. In Jersey I went with a mask, but in Florida I went in without one, and I, like, for the first time in weeks, I finally got to, like, have a facial expression, exchange, you know, smiles with people, like, nod at them. And it just felt weird. It felt weird to do that. But it's hard because you want to help and now you feel, well, I don't know. I don't want to put somebody on the spot and walk over and help them with this. But you got to be smart. You got to be smart, but be considerate. So if someone's struggling with their bags and you see me in a grocery store parking lot, and if you need help, I'm willing to help. Just, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, so you just holler. I'll be there. I got you. It's a different world we're living in. We'll navigate through it. We'll get through it. We will see a victory. We will get through it. But we're trying to see if we're going to have sports. And right now, you know, Bryce Harper's proposal for baseball, there's some interesting stuff in it. Some of it is fun. I don't know. I doubt that baseball would ever come to this agreement because they're putting together a proposal. So they're putting together a proposal. But now if you got guys like Bryce Harper thinking about, hey, what can I do? I'm sure there's other players also trying to come up with different ideas. I did not read through the comments because there's maybe 2,000 of them. So I didn't scan his comments to see what other players have said. I'm sure other players have commented on it. But let me see if I can quickly see if there was any comments from any other players. No, I don't see any. Real quick, I don't see any other players commenting on it. I'm sure they did. But I wonder how you feel about it. So how would you feel about what Bryce Harper laid out? And what he laid out, if you missed it, I read through it about an hour ago. He proposes a 135-game season. You play starting in July. You're off every 2 weeks on a Monday. 7-inning Sunday doubleheaders. 30 players, 6-man rotation, DH, other ideas, a 2-week World Series, 10 teams round-robin format. Play 2 weeks, and you end the season end of November. There's a long way to go before Major League Baseball and it players can agree to it, but I think there's some interesting stuff in there. There's some fun stuff in there. Open this up on all platforms, he says, no blackouts, and everybody can watch. People would certainly get excited, I'm sure, to see anything. Are you excited about seeing soccer and seeing the UFC and NASCAR? Is that stuff... Are any of those sports getting you excited? Does that get you excited? The fact that you can at least see something? I'll be honest, I haven't watched any sports whatsoever. I haven't watched any, I don't watch the replays. I will watch a clip on social media of, you know, Phillies clip here, Eagles clip there, various, whatever it is. I'll look at an old clip, but an old game, I can't do it. I don't want to watch an old game. But I'll watch old clips. I will. I'll look at that. But are you watching, are you finding yourself looking, tuning in to sports that you ordinarily, whether it's the UFC, soccer, you're going to have some golf tomorrow, you're going to have whatever it may be. Are you watching NASCAR? Are you going to turn into a racing fan because you miss it that much? Or are you at that point where you've gone on long enough and you feel that, hey, you know what? I'm doing good. I'm doing good without it. Do you feel like when it comes back, combination of players being out of touch, owners being out of touch, complaining about money in a world where people have lost thousands and thousands of jobs, does that make you feel like, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be all in. I don't know if I'm going to go all out and watch. I don't know if I'm going to rearrange my plans. I haven't heard from anyone who is going to, who thinks they're going to back off that much. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. We got the NFL owners that we talked about a lot tonight. Mostly, except for one, everyone disliked it. I've had only one call. I think it was JP, might have been late in the 7, early in the 8 o'clock hour, who thought that this was a good idea. And he explained his reasons for it, saying that if he thinks it's finally going to be something that can help. And the idea is that the NFL owners are considering voting on a proposal for, and that if you hire a minority head coach, well, you get 6 spots higher in the 3rd round. If you hire an executive, it's 10, a GM, front office guy, it's 10 spots. If you hire both, 16 spots. Now, we're talking about the 3rd round, jumping ahead. What happens if you don't have a pick in that 3rd round? Like, that's another thing. So, it's after you hire a minority head coach, he has to stay on board for 1 season, and then you get 6 spots higher in the 3rd round, his 2nd season. Now, supposing you don't have a 3rd round pick that year, now what? So they got to build in contingencies for that too as well. I think that if they're going to try and introduce any kind of expansion to the Rooney Rule, the best would be not to incentivize by draft picks, but one, as Dylan, who did a great job laying it out earlier, my producer, Dylan McKinnon, he said, expand the Rooney Rule to assistant coaching positions to where you have to interview minority candidates for those. And he's 100% dead on, because that's where you're going to get more guys to get opportunities. And then you can see them blossom through the ranks. And my idea is make it 3 head coach candidates have to be interviewed and given a serious consideration, or else you're docked a pick. I don't know how. Disqualify. Maybe it's a 6th rounder. Maybe whatever it is. Picks are valuable. Teams don't want to give them up. Maybe that's a better option. I'm not sure. 610-632-0975. So we got a lot on the table if you want to get in. The NFL owners, Bryce Harper's proposal, Bryce Harper's reaction to Blake Snell's comments about not wanting to play and risk his life for half the pay. We got all that. If you were down the shore, I want to hear from you what it was like down there. Everything. 610-632-0975. I got open lines for you. Rob Motti on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 975 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you. If you know me, if you listen to me, if you heard me just a few minutes ago, you know I'm a man of strong faith, and I just mentioned that I'm going to be preaching a virtual sermon tomorrow. I just found out that someone I know from a previous, I spoke at this church a couple of years ago. A really good kid, Luke, who's been through a lot, was in a bad skateboarding accident. So I know I got a lot of prayer warriors out there. And if y'all don't mind, lift Luke up in prayer because he was in a bad accident and he needs those prayers right now. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. We've been talking a lot about the NFL owners. We've been talking about Major League Baseball. And here's the thing with baseball. They certainly are going to do whatever they can to try. All the sports are. They're going to try. They're going to attempt to come to decisions. But I think we're at that point where both sides got to make sacrifices. And then here's the thing, even if they come to an agreement and they've sacrificed and the owners are at one side and and they come together, the logistics of it, the safety of it, first and foremost, the safety of it. And then you hear guys and like Shaq and Charles say in the NBA, they should just stay away, forget about it. The one person who I think is hurt the most if the NBA doesn't come back is LeBron, right? LeBron had a team that was a contender. He's getting older. He's only got so many chances, and now he loses an opportunity to make a championship run. Now, that's somebody who I would think wants to do whatever he can. With the NBA and the NHL, you have to just go right into the postseason. Now, if you want to have a couple play-ins, fine, for the 8th seed, 7th seed. Other than that, you can't finish out the regular season. But the difficult part is seeing who's saying and who to trust and who to believe with all this stuff. So that's why, for me, the best way to maintain a positive attitude about this, because that's what I love to do, just maintain, no matter whether it comes back or not, to me, I look at it like it's a bonus. Sports is a bonus. Sports isn't my lifeline, it's a bonus. So if it comes back, oh, look what I just got back after 2.5 months. Or what, by the time it comes back, 3.5 or 4. Look what just came back. Oh, how about that? Now, it's also my profession. I'm still covering regardless. I don't need games to cover the NFL. I don't need games to cover baseball. We're covering the developments and what happens. I'll tell you what, it's been interesting. The opportunity to do so many different stories. Really been locked in on NFL coverage. Had a conversation. Here's a name. You know what? And maybe I'll bring some of this interview in tomorrow. I had a conversation with a player who Eagles fans, man, when I say his name, DK Metcalf. You can't even think of DK Metcalf without going JJ Arcega-Whiteside. So Dylan, I had a conversation with DK a couple weeks ago, and I was doing a story on it. The NFL did a rookie webinar, and everything they did was virtual. So they had 547, I believe that was a number, 547 different guys on this call. An incredible amount. How is it that many guys? Anyway, it was that many guys on a call. And DK, Gardner Minshew, and another second-year player were on it as giving their advice to the incoming rookie class about what they experienced last year. So I talked to him about that, what was some of the advice he gave, some of the things he learned as a rookie, all that stuff. And I said, DK, listen, I cover the Eagles. I'm in Philly. I just want you to know your name comes up a lot when I'm doing shows in Philly. So tell me, one, are you aware of that? Like, are you even aware that Eagles fans wanted you so badly? And he, even though I this was like not on the air, this was just he said the most politically correct answer you can give. He's like, I'm in Seattle now. That's the only thing I'm focused on. I'm like, oh, come on, DK. You can at least tell me if you're aware that Eagle fans can't think of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside without saying DK Metcalf. But my goodness. Yeah, so I had a conversation with DK and a couple other. That was an interesting, fun story. Didn't speak to Gardner Minshew about it. Then there was one about, and I did this, and I'm going to get into it tomorrow a little bit, because I also wrote a column about it for 97.5 The Fanatic, and it was about Zach Ertz and his contract. Did you see that one, Dylan? About Zach Ertz and his contract, because I talked to a lot of agents, George Kittle's agent. I talked to Drew Rosenhaus, who's got some tight ends, including Greg Olsen, and Travis Kelce's got, so Kelce, Kittle, and Zach Ertz. And the story was about how tight ends are going to start trying to get and look for wide receiver type money. And if that's the case, because you look at the gap, tight ends, their franchise tag, which Hunter Henry just got, is $10 million, 10 point something. The NFL franchise tag is 17 point whatever it is. So I got to look it up. So it's $7 million apart. $7 million. And then you got a guy like Amari Cooper, who got a $20 million deal. George Kittle, Zach Ertz, and Travis Kelce are more important to their team. So Kittle's going to get paid. He's going to set the bar. Then Kelce and Zach are next. And that just leads to a lot of interesting conversations. So I think I'm back tomorrow. I'm here at 4. I just wanted to give you a little tease. But I'm going to get into that tomorrow, because I think that's a very interesting conversation that the Eagles are going to have, and a tough decision that they're going to make when it comes to redoing Zach's deal. Because Zach wants to stay here. He wants to play here. And it's up to the Eagles to make that happen. If they want to. So that was another, that was a fun, interesting story, because I had to talk to a lot of agents, a lot of different agents, get their perspective. I talked to one, Lee Steinberg, who doesn't have a lot of, he doesn't have, I don't know if he has any tight ends. He's the quarterbacks guy. He's got Patrick Mahomes. He's got Tua. But he said that if he represented Kittle, if he represented Kelce, if he represented Ertz, he would absolutely 100% argue that they deserve wide receiver money. So I'm going to get into that a little bit too as well. We'll do that tomorrow. But for now, man, I don't know how they're going to come to an agreement and how they're going to do this. But you got to hope it's going to happen. You know that they're going to try. They're going to exhaust every opportunity. They're going to try. They're certainly going to try. And you look ahead to it, and you look forward to when it's going to happen. But to me, that's how you maintain a positive approach. You look at the time that you're saving, the time that you've missed, the time that you've spent, and how you're using it in different ways. And there's a lot to be learned from that. There's a lot that we can carry over from that. So much from it. Now, I've been able to spend more time with my family and more time with my kids, but I'm also working. And work is work. So whether I'm at the ballpark or I'm in a condo in Florida trying to get some work done, I'm still trying to sit in a room away from the children, and they're still going to come in there. But I'm finding more time, because the great thing is, for me, the great thing is I'm not coming home at midnight or 1 a.m. Sometimes baseball, I've been home at 2 or 3. Somehow I always find a way to be off the night the Phillies have like a crazy rain delay, and I keep getting the breaks there every time something bad like that happens. But hey, it's been an opportunity to find ways to do different things. So that's where you draw on those positives. You draw on that. You maintain your hope. You draw on the positives. You look ahead. You know at some point it's going to come back. And for now, you maintain the best thing you could do to be safe, the best thing you could do to have some fun. Things are opening up. People are getting back out there. Be safe. Be considerate. Don't be stupid. And it's crazy because I heard somebody cough the other day and I jumped. You know, nobody jumps anymore. I mean, nobody just brushes off a cough. Now you jump. You're like, where'd that come from? Who was it? Was his face covered? What was it? And it was like one aisle over at the grocery store. I think it was. It wasn't right. I heard it, but I wasn't, you know, I was like, that kind of sounded like it was over there. So it wasn't bad. But that's the environment we're in now. That's what's happened. So you get through it. We'll get through it. But man, we got the Major League Baseball players trying to negotiate for full pay. You got the owners trying to push back on that. You have the NFL wanting to give incentives for minority hiring. The schedule came out while I was away now, so I missed the whole WL all the way down. Right now, to me, it's a 9-7, 10-16, but they're not playing 16 games. I can't foresee that. So maybe they play 14, 12. I'm not sure. Preseason schedule's out. All of that. 610-632-0975. We got open lines. Last opportunity to join me tonight. If not, you can join me tomorrow. But you want to get in tonight before I get out of here. 610-632-0975. Rob Motti on the Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
945 on 97.5. Rob Motti here with you just a little bit longer. Dylan McKinnon was handling the phones all night long, doing a fantastic job. You can get in 610-632-0975 before we get out. Join a conversation. We could talk about the NFL owners, MLB owners. We can talk about anything. You watching UFC? You getting excited about the UFC? Getting excited about soccer? Getting excited about NASCAR? Golf? Dylan, you're over there tweeting about, what is this? Nightmare on Elm Street? In theaters?
Oh, someone had asked on Twitter, what was the first R-rated movie you ever saw?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a funny story. Do you ever see the movie Slapshot?
Yes, with the hockey movie?
Yeah. I have not, because the very first movie my parents rented for me and my brother, we were like, I don't know if it was Blockbuster or whatever video store. You're too young for Blockbuster, aren't you?
I remember Blockbuster. I used to go to Blockbuster and pick out movies.
Okay.
That was in my time.
That was in your time? All right, so I don't know where it was, but it was a VCR. First time we ever went, you know, we're young and my parents are immigrants. They don't know anything about like the movies and what this is about. We didn't know. We saw it's a hockey movie, right? So we rent the hockey movie. We get home, we start to watch it. And I think there was a topless woman early in the movie, right? At some point. That was it. My parents stopped the tape, pulled it out, and I have never seen Slapshot since. So it's got to be. I mean, it's considered one of the all time great sports movies. Where do you put it on your list?
I don't know if I have it as a top five movie. I've only seen it a couple times, but I remember really liking it. I have to see it again,
yeah,
to know where to really rank it. But the last time I saw it, I remember laughing a lot.
But it was you thought it was really good. I mean, I've numerous people have always listed it among the great sports movies. But yeah, I have not. That was it for me. I never went back to it.
There's a similar story. I think I saw someone on Twitter talk. I think it might have been Seth Rogen, the comedian. And he was talking about how when he was in, I think, middle school, he had brought a movie in to watch with the class. I was like some It was like some kid-friendly movie. But what he didn't know was right at the end of the movie, it was they had recorded two movies on the same VHS.
Yeah.
And it's right at the end of that movie, it started Coming to America right in the bathtub scene where... in the middle of a middle school class.
I didn't see that. I don't know that movie, but I can imagine.
But it's the same thing as the slapshot thing where all of a sudden...
My goodness, that's hilarious. Yeah, that was it for me. I've never gone back to see it. I always tell myself I got to, but I don't know if it's like, I can't sit still to watch a movie. I never watch anything at all without a device. If I'm is that normal? If I'm watching anything at all, I either have my laptop and I'm looking at something, probably work-related, working on a story, preparing something, or I got my phone in my hand and I'm thinking. Like, I hardly ever will sit there and watch anything without a device. Man, I got issues. I can't sit still. What do they call that, man? What do they call that when you just can't? I'm always trying to multitask. Always. I don't know why. Even on the beach, drive my wife nuts. I'm on the beach and I got the phone out and I'm like, yeah, I'm working on this. She's like, just put it away. Put it away. One time, put it away. And I do. And then I come back to it. I'm going to take some time off though coming up. Hopefully we can go a week without some big news. Maybe do that. This week I took some days off, and Eagles decided to have, Jason Kelce. What else did they have? Jason Kelce was available one day. Now I'm looking at my Eagles messages. Oh, Kelce. Oh, Fletcher Cox. Yeah, Tuesday was Fletcher. Thursday was Jason Kelce. So we got... So your first R-rated movie was Nightmare on Elm Street. My first movie in a theater was one of the Star Wars. And it was the only time I ever watched Star Wars. I forget which one it was. But my parents took us to... My brother wanted to see it. I don't know where we heard about it. And we're like, all right, we're going to go to a movie. First time ever in a theater. And it was a Star Wars movie. Are you a Star Wars guy?
Yeah, big Star Wars guy.
Yeah. So how many have there been?
There was 11 movies.
Oh, geez. So I can't even run down the list. I don't. It was a Star Wars movie. That was the first time in a theater. I didn't see any other since then. But at least there was no slapshot scenes in Star Wars.
That is a very family funny movie. You're not going to have any surprises.
Yeah, I don't think my mom. I think it was just me, my brother, and my mom. I'm pretty sure my dad didn't sit through. Definitely didn't sit through a movie. I can't even tell. I don't think my dad has ever been in a movie theater. I'm almost 100% sure he's never been inside a movie theater. But yeah, that was the first movie we watched in a theater. Slapshot was the first rental for 4 minutes or whatever it lasted. I can't remember what the second rental was. I think it might have been like one of those vacation movies. They're families.
Some of them are. But some of them aren't so family friendly.
Really?
Like Christmas Vacation, I believe, might be PG or PG-13. But
okay.
I know the original Vacation's rated R, and then European Vacation's definitely rated R. I'm not sure about the other ones.
Geez. Yeah. I can't remember.
There's been a few times where I've gone to a theater for a movie that's rated R, and I see someone come in with their kid, and like I'm not going to say anything because I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, like, how long is it going to take for them to realize that this movie isn't appropriate for kids? So I'm just almost kind of watching them out of the side of my head, thinking, okay, when's this family going to leave? Like, there was a superhero movie, Deadpool, which. I know this is a big problem with, because people think superhero, it's probably kid-friendly, but that movie was not kid-friendly. And there was a lot of parents complaining that, like, oh, I took my kid to see this, and it was inappropriate for children. You should warn us. It's like, well, they rated R.
That's funny. You know what I walked out of? I was at a concert in Camden. Bob Saget.
Oh yeah, he is not family friendly.
This was probably, I'd say, like 12 years ago. So it was a date, and we walked out because you think of him as whoever from the Full House.
And
I had no idea he was how he is as a comedian. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I don't think it was so much, me and my date was also like at that time. It was before I met my wife. So it was 12 years ago. And we were like, yeah, I don't want to hear Uncle Danny. Is that his name?
He was the dad in Full House. So he wasn't an uncle. He was,
Danny Tanner. In Full House.
And then also American's Home Video. He was also really clean cut. So.
Yeah. And he was so vulgar.
Oh yeah. His act is very, very, he's one of the dirtiest comedians out there.
I was like, wow. Wow.
From the most clean cut character on TV in Danny Tanner. And then you see his comic act and he's just so
oh, my goodness. I'm checking out my colleague, Ron Blum, who does a great job covering Major League Baseball for AP. This is crazy. Did you see this story yet? He posted it a while ago, 2 hours ago. But it's a 67-page draft, right, of baseball's proposals. And it includes guys showering. Team personnel will be banned from eating at restaurants on road trips. They would have to possibly arrive in uniform. wearing a uniform, so nobody wants to drive in a uniform. Shower at home? You won't have the Philly Fanatic. You won't have mascots. They'll be banned.
Well, there's no crowd for them to play up to, so.
The traditional exchange of lineup carbs would be eliminated, of course. No high fives, fist bumps, bat boys.
Can't spit either. That's going to be a major thing for
it. Well, yeah.
No, a lot of players can't help but spit.
Yeah, teams will be allowed to have 50 players each under the plan. 50. With the number active for each game still to be negotiated. Spitting is prohibited, along with water jugs and the use of saunas, steam rooms, pools, cryotherapy chambers. Hitting indoors is discouraged. Batting gloves are encouraged. Batting practice pitchers have to wear masks. Dugout telephones have to be disinfected after each use. Players may not touch their face to give signs. They're not allowed to lick their fingers. But if you do it instinctively, what happens? Like, how do you enforce this? Oh my goodness, there's so much. Anyway, thank you to everybody who come out of time. Thank you everybody called in, who listened, who checked in on social media. Appreciate you all. Thank you to Dylan McKinnon for another fantastic job producing the show. Dylan, is it you and me tomorrow? I'm here at 4. Or is it Josh? I'm here. I'll be back tomorrow.
You're with Josh.
I'm with Josh. Okay, so it's me and Josh Rabick tomorrow at 4. Got a lot. We'll have a lot to talk about. I'm going to stay tuned tomorrow because I'm going to bring up the conversations I had with some of the agents, some of the Eagles' decisions that they have to make. That's a tough one with Zach Ertz. But until then, have a great night. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.